Wake up, America. It's Morning Air with John Morales.
Si, senor.
Sarah Tafoya.
Cool, we're famous.
And Glenn Leverins.
Bringing the light of Christ to start your day. That's how I know. This is Morning Air. On Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
Wake up, America. It's Monday, December 19th. Good morning and welcome back to the final hour of Morning Air. I'm John Morales. Glenn is off this week. Our producer, Sarah, is with us here in studio. Thanks so much for joining us across America and beyond on this Monday morning with only six more days until Christmas. Can you believe it? Once again, if you love Christmas music, you've come to the right place here at Relevant Radio. All you have to do is go to our Relevant Radio app or the relevantradio.com website. You will find hours and hours of beautiful carols and hymns, real Christmas music, secular and traditional, to get you ready for Christmas. Look for the Christmas in Song banner, which is available now on the Relevant Radio app and at relevantradio.com. It's really, really uplifting. I had a chance to spend some time in the car on my way to visiting my mom this weekend, and we listened to the Relevant Radio Christmas carols all the way down. So again, just go to Christmas in Song. Look for the banner, and you can find it on the Relevant Radio app and at relevantradio.com. Now, in case you missed it yesterday for whatever reason, Lionel Messi and Argentina won the FIFA World Cup in dramatic fashion in a penalty shootout over defending champion France in one of the most thrilling, one of the most spectacular World Cup finals in the history of the World Cup. Sarah, it is something that people are going to be talking about for a long time.
Yeah, I believe so. From what I saw of it, it was very intense, very entertaining, and man, emotions were high on both sides, as they should have been. This is the biggest game for football in the entire world, so lots riding on it. Everyone on the edge of their seats throughout the entire game.
Without a doubt. Even if you're not a soccer fan, even if you're not a football fan, as it's known in most of the world, just the drama, the storylines, the excitement, just was amazing, extremely memorable. 35-year-old Lionel Messi led the way for Argentina as he scored the first goal on a penalty shot, as heard on Fox Sports.
How many billions of eyeballs are watching these two men 12 yards apart? Messi scores!
And what a celebration had begun, just a sea of blue and white there in the stadium. Argentina would lead it 2-0 at the half, but then France's superstar, Kylian Mbappe, scored three goals. He had the hat trick on the day, and it was tied in regulation. It would then go to extra time, still tied at 3-3. And this is how it ended in the shootout, as heard on Telemundo en Español.
That was like breaking the speakers. It was so loud. They were so excited. That was such an intense shootout. And, you know, that's intense when you're the person who's kicking, because, you know, everything rides on where you choose to kick, how you're leaning your body, because, you know, the goalie is looking for all those things. And when you're the goalie, intense pressure, because you have to make a leap in one direction. And if you are going the wrong direction, it's over. You know, you missed it. And a couple of times, Argentina was able to knock it out. The goalie was able to knock it out. So that really made it a good advantage for them. And they ended up, in the end, winning. So that was very exciting.
Impressive analysis there, Sarah, for a former high school soccer player.
Well, I have been on the trenches of being the goalie. So I know it's intense. And we were never in a game that exciting, but we weren't a great team. So I got a lot of action. We'll just put it that way. So I know it can be a very difficult position to be in, so kudos to the team.
Well, and kudos to Argentina's Messi. He finally, after all these years, 17 years of playing the game, finally wins the World Cup, scoring two goals and getting to hoist the World Cup trophy for Argentina. A huge celebration began in Buenos Aires as Argentina wins their third World Cup ever. The celebration was massive. I mean, I saw images of it. It reminded me of the Cubs championship parade, just a sea of humanity, a sea of blue and white there. But now the question continues. Is now Messi absolutely considered the GOAT, the greatest player ever to play the game? And many say that he sealed the deal yesterday.
Well, he did an amazing job and great teamwork with his team. And it really, you know, you can be a great player, but if you don't have a great team, it makes it very difficult. So they all worked very hard together, and you could tell that they have good cohesive action together. So that was good to see, and it was a very thrilling game. So hats off to everyone, and Merry Christmas to those people in Argentina. They're going to have a very, very Merry Christmas, including one who's sitting in the Vatican, who I'm sure he'll be having a very Merry Christmas as well.
Oh, yes. I'm sure Pope Francis is smiling from ear to ear, doing the happy dance, but in private. You know, he again doesn't watch television, as we heard at the top of the hour. But nevertheless, I'm sure he's very happy for his native Argentina.
Yes, I'm sure he is. So big congratulations to everyone in Argentina.
And we continue to get ready for Christmas here with 6 days to go. And thanks, Sarah. We always start in prayer every hour, as always, thanking our Lord for all the many blessings, always through the intercession of the Mother of God, our Blessed Mother Mary. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Our Lady of Guadalupe, patroness of the Americas, patroness of the unborn, and of Relevant Radio, pray for us. Saint Joseph, patron of the Universal Church, pray for us. Saint John Paul II, co-patron of Relevant Radio, pray for us. We always invoke the Holy Spirit every morning here on the show when we pray. Come, Holy Spirit, come. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Our power scripture from the Playbook of Life this morning is from Jeremiah 29:13. The Old Testament prophet says, "You shall seek me and shall find me when you shall seek me with all your heart." During these final days of Advent, this scripture is a reminder of the importance of seeking the baby Jesus, the Lord of the universe, who came to us as Emmanuel, God with us. It's all about seeking Christ with all your heart and making Jesus the Lord number one, and then everything else falls into place. And we always pray with great confidence from the Divine Mercy Chaplet, "Jesus, I trust in you." Now, this morning, we are going to continue our series on the sacraments with our spiritual director, Father Burke Masters. Last week, we finished our discussion on what the Catechism of the Catholic Church teaches about the sacrament of holy matrimony. And this morning, we're going to take a look at what the early church fathers had to say about marriage. Joining us live is our spiritual director, Father Burke Masters, the pastor of St. Isaac Jogues Parish in Hinsdale, Illinois, Chicago Cubs Catholic chaplain known as the baseball priest, and a longtime Morning Air contributor. Good morning, Father Burke. Thanks so much for joining us. Great to be with you once again. Happy Advent.
Thanks, John. Happy Advent to you. Always good to be with you. And yes, congratulations to Lionel Messi in Argentina. Everything I've read and heard about him is that he's a very devout Catholic, and he has a tattoo of Christ with the crown of thorns on his right arm. And seems like a good man, good family man. So congratulations to him and his team.
Well, I really appreciate that insight, Father Burke. I know baseball is your main love, but you can appreciate the sheer determination and the perseverance 17 years before he finally, Messi, won his first World Cup. And the fact that he's a devout Catholic is just a great plus.
Yeah, he's waited a long time. And, you know, sometimes, you know, he's considered the Michael Jordan of soccer, you know, the best player. And sometimes those players never get to hoist the trophy. And, you know, so I'm sure this is, you know, the highlight of his career and something that he'll be able to always hold on to. But as he said, as I said, I've heard interviews say where people have called him the god of football, of soccer. And he says, you know, that's flattering, but there's only one god. And so kind of like the coach of the Boston Celtics. And if you saw that interview, people said, had he seen the Holy Family, you know, speaking about the Holy Family, I mean, the royal family in England. And he said, to me, there's only one royal family, and that's Joseph, Mary, and Jesus.
I love it. So, what a great perspective. Yeah. How appropriate here with only six more days to go before Christmas, Father.
Exactly. Yeah. I love when people have a platform like that to give glory to God, because he's the reason why we have life. He's the source of all life, and he's where we're all heading back towards. And so, as you know, I work with the Catholic Athletes for Christ, and that's their goal, is to bring Christ into the arena of sports through the sacraments, and to help people realize that this world is passing, but what lasts forever is our faith in Jesus Christ. And so I think it's good to keep things in perspective, that even when we win these trophies and championships, those things in the end, in the ultimate end, don't matter. But what matters is that crown of eternal glory that the Lord has prepared for each one of us.
Absolutely. That imperishable crown. Father Burke, let's continue talking about the sacrament of marriage. Last few weeks, we went over what the Catechism had to say, and today we want to shift gears a little bit and talk about the early church fathers. Before we get into the fathers, real quick, Jesus taught that if anyone was validly married, divorces and remarries, that person is living in adultery, which is a state, of course, of mortal sin. Can you talk about how St. Paul was very insistent on this teaching?
Yeah, I love this quote from 1 Corinthians 7, verses 10 to 11. St. Paul, who we would consider one of the first church fathers, you know, who carried on the church after Christ ascended into heaven. He said, to the married, I give charge, not I, but the Lord. So he says, this is a divine commandment, that the wife should not separate from her husband. But if she does, let her remain single, or else be reconciled to her husband, and that the husband should not divorce his wife. So he's talking about the indissolubility of marriage, that if two people get divorced civilly, they should remain chaste and single, or reunite with their husband. Those are the options. And so I know the church gets sometimes a bad rap for, you know, how much we hold sacred the sacrament of holy matrimony, but it's really, you know, holding true to what the Lord himself has said, how important marriage is. And it makes sense that marriage and family is the building blocks of society. And if marriage and family starts to fall apart, which we have seen, you know, what the detrimental effect that will have on society. So the church just values and honors marriage in the way that the Lord has established it.
Father Burke, this teaching of St. Paul, does this apply only to baptize the Christians?
So it does, in the sense of, this is for baptized Christians. You know, there are principles in the church where if someone is a baptized Catholic and marries an unbaptized person, that for the sake of the faith, you know, sometimes people grow apart because of faith. There are instances where that marriage can be declared null, and somebody can get married again. But between two baptized Christians, you know, that are validly married, they've given their consent before God. You know, that is, it's meant to be indissoluble, meant to last forever.
Now, the early church fathers in many ways echoed the writings of St. Paul, who obviously was building on the teachings of our Lord Jesus Christ. Can you talk about what some of these church fathers had to say about marriage?
Yeah, so if we start with Hermas, who was in 80 AD, so again, first century, he says, "What then shall the husband do if the wife continue in this disposition of adultery?" So he's talking about in the case of adultery, and you'd say, well, boy, wouldn't it be appropriate if someone could divorce because of adultery? He says, "Let him divorce her and let the husband remain single." So it's okay to separate from your wife, but not to remarry. But if he divorces his wife and marry another, he too commits adultery. So this is from the first century. So we're talking 40, 50 years after Jesus died and rose to new life. The very early church is teaching how sacred the sacrament of holy matrimony is. Even in the case of adultery, that you know, you can separate but not marry another.
And another well-known church father, St. Justin Martyr, a little bit later in about 151 AD, he also had some pretty strong words to say about marriage.
Yeah, very similar words. So again, another 70 years later, whoever marries a woman who has been divorced from another husband, commits adultery. So in this case, it's so important for us to think about, you know, not just the eyes of civil law. So if somebody gets divorced civilly, in the eyes of God, they're still married. And so Justin Martyr is saying that according to our teacher, capital T, meaning Jesus, just as there are sinners who contract a second marriage, even though it be in accord with human law, so that's civil law, so also there are sinners who look with lustful desire at a woman. So he's holding up the sacredness of marriage, but also, you know, Jesus really raises the bar on us. He's saying, when he's talking about adultery, even if you look at someone with lust, you're committing adultery in your heart. And sometimes we can say, boy, how can we live this out? You know, we're human beings, but the Lord is always calling us to this state of holiness, in the sense of being the best person that we can be, living up to these high standards. You know, if we set the bar low, you know, we're all going to fall to the lowest common denominator. But the Lord knows he's created us in his image and likeness. He knows that he wants to fill us with his grace through the power of the sacraments, that we can do amazing things in, with, and through him. And so I think sometimes we take the stance that, well, at least I'm not as bad as that person. And that's setting the bar low. Jesus says, use me as your standard. You know, St. Paul even says, imitate me, in the sense that I'm trying to imitate Jesus. So I think it's good for all of us to shoot for holiness, to seek God above all things, and also to realize, you know, that as beautiful as marriage is, it is this beautiful sacrament that God has given us, that in heaven there's no marriage, Jesus says. In heaven, Jesus will be our all in all. And so always to keep our eyes fixed on Christ in whatever vocation that we are called to in this life.
And Father Burke, despite the clear teaching of our church, from the teachings of our Lord Jesus Christ, St. Paul, the Catechism, and these early church fathers, the fact is that to this day, especially now more than ever, many young Catholics are living together before they get married, with the belief that perhaps it might lead to a lower divorce rate. But this is not necessarily true.
No, studies are showing clearly that cohabitation actually leads to a higher divorce rate. And even studies that are not done by the church are saying you have a 30% higher chance of divorce if you cohabitate before marriage. So the studies are showing that the first year of marriage, for those who cohabitate, the divorce rate goes down because they probably work through some of the things. But after that first year, the divorce rate goes higher. And I think, you know, sometimes I know good Catholic families where their children, because of the peer pressure because of this is just what the world is, you know, encouraging. You know, people are moving in together thinking, you know, I need to test this out before I make the commitment to marriage. But studies are showing that it's not healthy, and it's leading actually to a higher divorce rate. So I think it's a big concern morally. And interestingly, in our next BeForm season, which starts in January, we're going to be talking about morality, freedom, and virtue, and why the church teaches what it does about sexuality, about morality. And I think it's going to be very interesting, and the beauty of the church's teaching behind all of these subjects is fascinating.
Father Burke, we have time for one more question about marriage, which I find very interesting and very relevant, because a lot of folks don't realize that you need, if you're Catholic, you should get married in a church, in a beautiful Catholic church. I was blessed to get married at St. Mary of the Angels in Chicago, one of the most magnificent places this side of Rome. Can you talk about getting married in a church, not on the beach or at a park?
Right. I get asked often, you know, Father, can you do our wedding on the beach? And I say no. Canon 1118 says that Catholics are required to be married in a Catholic church building. Really, the only exceptions are if a Catholic marries a non-Catholic, they can get married in the non-Catholic's church with dispensation, with permission from the church. But we believe in, you know, that the sacraments of baptism and marriage and confirmation are such sacred rites. That you know, the church building is the house of God, and these sacred rites should be held in a church building. So if somebody wants to get married on the beach, what I would say to them is, you know, get married in the church first. Even if you want to have a small ceremony, you know, with a priest or deacon and a couple witnesses, and then you can renew your vows on the beach somewhere. But there's real grace in the sacrament of holy matrimony, and marriage is tough. There are challenges, and without the grace of God, it's extremely difficult to live out holy matrimony. So that would be my encouragement for those young couples who are listening. Get married in the church, and then, you know, can renew the vows on the beach somewhere.
Father Burke, as always, so much appreciate your insights and your teachings. Could you give us your blessing here just days away from Christmas?
Sure, I'd be happy to. Heavenly Father, we thank you and praise you for your Son, Jesus. We thank you for this time of Advent, and as we prepare for this beautiful celebration of Christmas where you took on our human flesh. St. John Chrysostom said, what is not assumed is not redeemed. So we thank you for taking on our flesh, redeeming us and saving us, and help us to respond to you with greater faith, hope, and love. And may Almighty God bless you all, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Father Burke. Many blessings these last few days of Advent, and Merry Christmas to you.
Thank you. You too, John, and God bless all of our listeners.
Thanks. Father Burke Masters, the baseball priest and longtime Morning Air contributor. We need to take a short time out. When we come back, career coach Bruce Lochenour will be with us to continue talking about how to give yourself and your family a Christmas gift on the job front. Stay with us on this Monday edition of Morning Air as we continue here on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
It's the best time of the year. I don't know if there'll be snow, but have a cup of cheer.
And welcome back to Morning Air. Yes, indeed, we are getting into that Christmas spirit. I'm John Morales, along with Glenn, and actually Glenn is off today. He is not here with us. I'm so used to bringing him in, but he has started his Christmas vacation a little bit early. Sarah is with us this morning. Thanks again for joining us here on this Monday. We're already in the fourth week of Advent, only six more days until Christmas. We are going to continue our series on how to land your dream job this morning with career coach Bruce Lochenauer, who's taking your calls at 888-914-9149. That's 888-914-9149. You can always send an email to Bruce at bruce@relevantradio.com. That's bruce@relevantradio.com. Today we're going to discuss how to give yourself and your family a Christmas gift on the job front. Bruce Lochenauer has a bachelor's degree in economics from Northwestern University and an MBA from Harvard. He has spent the last 25 years working with public and private company board of directors, CEOs, and top executives on their careers and talent needs. Good morning, Bruce. Thanks so much for joining us. Great to be with you once again. Happy Advent.
John, good morning. Happy Advent. Countdown. We're getting close here.
Yes, we definitely are. You can feel it in the air. Last time we talked about how to turn every hour of work into an offering or a present to our Lord by offering up our work with a prayer or an intention. Today we want to shift gears and talk about how to give yourself or your family a Christmas gift on the job front.
Yeah, John, we do. I want to go back just real quick. There's still a few days left in Advent, and many of us have a few days left on the work front. It's not too late to put into practice what we talked about, which is sanctifying your ordinary work, taking an hour of work and turning it into prayer by pausing at the top of the hour, thinking of a special intention, saying a prayer, and then doing that work well as an offering to God for that intention. You know, John, I can't tell you how many times I say to people, wow, I will pray for you. And I do, John. You know, I'll say an aspiration, I'll remember them at Mass. But this is another way to gain grace for others. So think about, you know, in this Advent, it's a time of waiting and expectation. Let's also think about making ourselves even better on the work front by offering up our work. But Christmas presents, or how about a present that's going to keep on giving? How can we do that on the job front? Well, if you've been in a job, John, the same job for say 3 or more years, I would wager a lot of money that the overwhelming odds are that you are being paid well below market. So you think, what's going on? Well, the present you can give, and we'll talk about that, but the present you can give to yourself and your family is to get your compensation in line with the market compensation, which has just moved dramatically.
And obviously, we count our blessings, especially those who are employed, when you think of all the people out there that don't have a job. So we have to count our blessings, but also have the proper perspective. Now, Bruce, with only six...
Before you go on that, John,
go ahead.
That's a key factor, because I think if you read the press, you're going to go, wait a minute, I'm not going to talk to my boss about my compensation in this market where we're in a recession. The tech companies are laying off left and right. You know, I'd be foolhardy because they'll show me the door. You know what? We are still, I mean, I understand how someone might have that impression. But what I would encourage them to do is to look into their specific job area and see, unless you're in certain pockets like financial services, you're going to find that that job market is still white hot. If not white hot, it's certainly red hot. And there is the supply and demand equation out there is still heavily balanced in the favor of the job seeker, not the employer. And we can talk about all the statistics. So I just want to, you're right, John. That is the perception out there. But the fact is, employers can't get good employees and they can't keep them. I mean, you tell me. As you've been Christmas shopping, have you seen any job wanted or employees wanted signs?
Absolutely. I've seen them all over the place.
I know. So what is this we read in the newspaper about all the layoffs? Let's talk about tech. You know, you read about all the big tech companies laying off. I saw an interesting graph in one of the business periodicals that showed how this steep climb, looks like you're going up a ski hill, of the hiring that's been done in the last 5 years, through the pandemic and after. And now, as they're sort of realigning a little bit, as they're coming down, they are still well above the pre-pandemic levels in terms of hiring. And other data, John, for our listeners, the tech, another statistic, the tech industry, although it makes up a big chunk of the S&P 500 in terms of market cap valuation, as an employer, it's something like less than 5% of employees work for big tech companies. The vast majority of people work for small businesses. So, and those businesses can't get enough employees. One last point, I'm not trying to belabor this, but it's important because it's counter what we are hearing in the media. The people who are getting laid off, John, in those tech companies are having no problem finding new work. Again, with certain exceptions, but while Amazon's laying off, you know, right here, they're doing a ton of hiring somewhere else, and they're hiring in cybersecurity, and they're, so, it's a fallacy, John. There are, with certain exceptions, and it's easy to find out, John, if you're in a certain segment, just go out and look at the job postings and take a, you know, don't take my word for it, and talk to your friends and talk to the recruiters in the area, and you'll see, oh my goodness, this 3.7% unemployment, which is below, you're still at a historic low. 4% used to be called full employment. Well, we've been hovering below that. There are jobs out there. So sorry for jumping on your comment, John. But,
No.
It's a common perception out there.
Bruce, bottom line here with 6 days to go before Christmas is that there are plenty of opportunities still out there.
There are, John. And I'm a big believer in seizing the moment, you know, the carpe diem. This is the case. You know, I keep saying the job market is a lagging indicator, and someday it'll catch up with all that press and all the news that we hear. I hope it won't. And I think certain things have happened. In fact, the job participation rate is still below where it was when we went into the pandemic. A lot of people, almost twice as many people as ordinarily would retired. And then I think people are staying home. Dual income families are becoming one income families, partly because they saw, hey, it's great to stay at home, and partly because childcare is difficult to obtain. So that market's good. I don't think it's going to change soon, but strike while the iron's hot. It would be a good time for you to get that Christmas present for you and your family of getting your compensation up to the new market levels.
Want to open up the phone lines if you have any thoughts or questions about giving yourself and your family a Christmas gift on the job front. We are taking your calls for career coach Bruce Lockenauer at 888-914-9149. That's 888-914-9149. Any questions you may have about that dream job for Bruce, we'll be willing to tackle it. We're going to take a short time out as we continue our discussion with Bruce. Stay with us. There is more to come here on Morning Air on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
Everyone's a child at Christmas and looks for presents under the Christmas tree.
Yes. Welcome back to Morning Air on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. I'm John Morales. Thanks for tuning in as we continue our discussion with our Morning Air contributor, Bruce Lockenauer, our career coach, and we're talking about how to give yourself and your family a Christmas gift on the job front. Again, if you want to be part of the conversation, 888-914-9149, 888-914-9149. Hey, Bruce, I was thinking during the break, is this a good time to actually present yourself for an interview in these last few days before Christmas and even in between Christmas and New Year's, if there's anybody out there that is actually, you know, not on vacation and actually working? Would it be a good time to take advantage of maybe a quiet time?
I could argue both sides of that, John. What do you think? My view is it would be a good time because the odds are that people will be a little bit detached from the daily hustle and bustle and more focused as a job hiring manager on the process and on the person, and you can make a great connection. But in the same token, I think in this post-quarantine world in which we live, people are understanding better, or understand better, the need to unplug. And I would encourage our listeners to unplug. And what we're talking about is giving yourself a Christmas present for the new year, that you can start work on this Christmas present now, in figuring out, you know, just making sure you know what your dream job is, getting the data, John. We've talked so much about preparing. I mean, it'd be a great time if you've got some extra time, you know, you're not in the hustle and bustle. You can step out for a little bit and make and do some research on what that market is, so that as the new year hits, you can develop your plan of attack, if you will, for if you do decide to put your toe in the water and go external. You know, the whole premise of this, though, John, is if maybe you're in your dream job and very happy where you are, but because the market has moved so dramatically, you owe it to yourself and your family to have that tough conversation. And it doesn't need to be a tough conversation. That's what we're here to help our listeners with.
All right, Bruce, why is it that if you've been in a job for a while, you know, 2-3 years, there's a good possibility that you may be underpaid?
We have been in the hottest labor market in my lifetime, in our lifetimes, John. And that's caused a large, big step increase in compensation. You know, usually you have the annual 3%, 5%, whatever. No. This market took a big leap up, you know, 20-30%. Why? A few reasons. Number one, the great resignation. You know, I called it the great reawakening. My view is that people during the quarantine were at home and woke up and said, hey, wait, you know what? Let me rethink this job that I'm in. This may not be providing me the work-life balance that I need to provide, you know, to provide for the spiritual and human needs of my family. You know, aside from the financial needs, for whatever, you know, the commute is taking a big chunk of my life that could be better spending elsewhere. For whatever reason, people decided that they should readjust their priorities and find a job that will align with that. And there was a lot of movement in the market. You heard about the great quit. People have called it the great reshuffling. There was a ton of movement, John. And every time you move, there's a big increase to provide the incentive for someone to move. So if they were making X, they're going to make X plus 20, or in some cases X plus 30, which was not uncommon and frankly, you know, astounding. Lay on top of that inflation, you know, record inflation. And if you're getting just that 5% annual increase in your salary or whatever it might be, you're falling behind because inflation is greater than that. Your expenses have increased more than that. And anyone hired into what into your function is undoubtedly making, you know, dramatically more than you are.
Bruce, as something that we've talked about in past shows, pay transparency, that can that be of help to our listeners?
Yeah, absolutely, John. So the New York state law just went into effect last month, following Colorado, and January 1, California and Washington will all have on the books a law that says if you post a job, you have to post the compensation. So what does that mean for our, you know, so all of a sudden, you know, you may recall, John, when you and I entered the labor market, I remember people were very hush-hush about what they made, you know, in the water cooler conversations. You weren't saying, oh, I make this, or, oh, I make this. No. People just didn't share that data. Well, today, companies have to share it. And culturally, there's been a shift where there is a mindset of sharing that compensation. And within companies, there are means and for sharing that. I mean, one of the biggest, I've got a son-in-law in one of the biggest tech companies in the world. And it's really hard to figure out if you go from one area to the other what your compensation should be. Guess what? Now the employees have an internal publishing of that. Job association. So if, you know, the national network of radio hosts, you know, whatever it might be, have got that data. The data is out there in spades. So the pay transparency, though, is helping open up the door for our listeners or their family and friends to have this conversation. Because the postings that are out there have it, have the data that show, oh, I might not be at market. And the whole, so managers are in those geographies in particular, but at large, are sensitive to the fact that this is an issue. Let me give you a quick anecdote that just happened last week. I had lunch with a board director of a well-known fitness technology company that realized, oh my gosh, you know, pay transparency is out there, and there's been this big movement in compensation. What do we do to keep our employees happy? Well, they made a big move on the equity front. They said, let's be proactive. Let's send a signal to our employees to let them know that we love and care them and appreciate them. And they did. And they took some heat for that from it's called ISS. It's institutional. It's a shareholder advocacy group. But, you know, so what? They did the right thing for their employees. And John, our listeners would be making a mistake if they wait for their company to make that move, because the company is dealing with competitive issues, with all sorts of issues out there, inflationary issues, et cetera. They're not thinking so much about bringing each person up to their right level of compensation. So the onus is on you. Don't wait for your boss to come to you and say, hey, John, we've been rethinking things. But if, you know, do the research, find out, and you need to take the step. And again, you can do it in a way that is that because this pay transparency and other reasons, that is not adversarial, not confrontational, but rather about problem solving, as we've talked about negotiations, should be a joint problem solving session.
Bruce, we have time to squeeze in a call. Nicholas is joining us from Miami, Florida. Welcome to Morning Air, Nicholas. You're on with Bruce Lackenhauer.
Yes, good morning. Thank you for having me. I'd like to find out if this is a good time to renegotiate our compensation with Relevant Radio.
Liz, do you work for Relevant Radio?
No, for John to renegotiate his compensation with Relevant Radio.
So the answer to that is not no, but heck no, because I am dear friends with the CEO of Relevant Radio, and he knows where I live. Just kidding. I also happen to know, I think John is fairly compensated. And the other, I don't know that, but Nicholas, you know, I will tell you that John and I, and I think everybody working at Relevant Radio, are blessed to have the opportunity to impact people's lives. Nicholas, you tell me, how has Relevant Radio impacted you?
Oh, tremendously. Okay, since I started by chance, turn the radio to Relevant Radio, I've been hooked up since then. I listen in the morning because it's when I go to work, but I think it's a tremendous thing for spreading the word of God.
Great. I agree with you.
And,
you
know,
go ahead.
Yeah, that's okay. Hey, Bruce, I listen to you a lot of times. You're very, very smart.
Nicholas, I want to be very helpful. You're very kind. I want to be helpful, and I would encourage you. I think we're going to have to revisit this topic. So listen in early January, because we'll come back to this. So I don't know what you do, but if you've been in the role for more than 3 years, you should listen and ponder, and prayerfully ponder, whether you should have this conversation with your boss. Because, again, if you don't, nobody will do it for you. So, Nicholas, thank you for calling. Really appreciate it. And we love Relevant Radio.
Thank you, Nicholas. Bruce, we're going to have to leave it right there. God bless you. Merry Christmas. Thanks so much for all you do for our show.
John, Merry Christmas. My pleasure.
And now it's time for another episode of Glenn Story Corner.
Our story today is called A Letter from Santa. My dear precious Jesus, I did not mean to take your place. I only bring toys and things, and you bring love and grace. People give me lists of wishes and hope they come true, but you hear prayers of the heart and promise your will to do. Children try and be good and not cry when I'm coming to town, but you love them unconditionally, and that love will abound. I leave only a bag of toys and temporary joy for a season, but you leave a heart of love full of purpose and reason. I have a lot of believers in what one might call fame, but I never healed the blind or tried to help the lame. I have rosy cheeks and a voice full of laughter, but no nail-scarred hands or a promise of the hereafter. You may find several of me in town or at a mall, but there is only one omnipotent you to answer a sinner's call. And so, my dear precious Jesus, I kneel here to pray, to worship and adore you on this, your holy birthday. Romans 14:11, for it's written, "As I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bend before me, and every tongue shall give praise to God."
And our thanks to Glenn, who is enjoying his Christmas vacation early. Now, during this last week of Advent, let's remember Christ, the reason for the season. Go to confession and pray the Family Rosary Across America with Father Rocky, 7 p.m. Central tonight and every night of the week here on Relevant Radio. That'll do it on this Monday edition of Morning Air. For Glenn, for producers Sarah, Gabby, our entire Morning Air team, I'm John Morales. Thanks so much for joining us. Let your light shine before all. God bless America. We'll see you tomorrow on the next Morning Air. The Patrick Madrid Show is straight ahead.